You got it. Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for being here. My name is Laura Villa. I'm the program manager for SIGO Area Agency on Aging. We represent the southeastern Arizona region, which is Cochise, Graham, Greenlee, and Santa Cruz counties. The purpose of this public hearing today is to provide you information about the SIGO Area Agency on Aging and the process of developing a four-year plan on aging for fiscal year 2018-2021. The new area plan will go into effect July 1st, 2018. The area plan serves as the planning document which identifies priority needs, goals, objectives, funding, and advocacy efforts that will be undertaken by Region 6 Area Agency on Aging and our provider network in developing, implementing, and building collaborations and programs for seniors in Cochise, Graham, Greenlee, and Santa Cruz counties for the next 4 years. The area plan describes the manner in which the Area Agency on Aging is viewed plans to utilize state federal funds and how it will carry out its administrative responsibilities. The area plan is viewed as the blueprint for action, which represents a commitment by the Area Agency on Aging that it will fulfill its role as a planner, catalyst, advocate, and on behalf of older persons in Region 6 as required under the Older Americans Act. Today, I have some information to share with you, and in your packets, you will see the results from the needs assessment that was conducted during the third quarter of fiscal year 16. So, in your packet on page 6, the executive summary from Mr. Robert Carreira, PhD from the U.S. Economic Research and Consulting Business. This report presents the results of a needs assessment survey of the senior population in southeastern Arizona conducted by Mr. Carreira at the U.S. Economic Research and Southeastern Arizona Government's Organization Area Agency on Aging. The survey was conducted during the fourth quarter of calendar year 2016. The survey included a sample of 689 seniors ages 60 and older, residing in Cochise, Graham, Greenlee, and Santa Cruz counties. I will not touch base on the other counties. I will focus mostly on Cochise County today. In Cochise County, we had 219 surveys filled out, returned to our office, and those are the surveys that were actually provided in this packet as a result. The survey indicated the most important need of the elderly in southeastern Arizona is affordable dental care. That result for Cochise County was 37.5%. So it was one of the highest percentage of problems in actually the four counties. But in Cochise County itself, it came out to be 37.4% just in Cochise County. The second most important need of the elderly in southeastern Arizona is affordable assistive devices, meaning hearing aids, glasses, canes, etc. This was rated as a serious problem by 24.6% survey respondents across southeastern Arizona. Now, in Cochise County, we had a percentage of 25.1 for affordable assistive devices. Other important concerns at the regional level include maintenance and repair of the home, income, not having enough money for basic needs, and cost of energy utilities. Maintenance and repair of the home was rated a serious problem by 23.2% of survey respondents across southeastern Arizona and was the top five most serious problems in the three of the four counties. Now, if you look back at page 16 of your packet, you will see that the five most serious problems in Cochise County were indicated that telemarketing or in-home sales was at 22%, maintenance and home repair was at 21.4%, and maintenance of the yard came out to 20%. Those are high numbers. Out of the 219 people that responded to the surveys, those are very high numbers. And we will go back to page number 9 to see the age group distribution percentage. And as you can look at the first chart for Cochise County, the amounts of or the percentages of the age groups indicated above, we had the highest people that responded to this survey was from the ages of 70 to 74 at 20.3%. And the lowest, which was 90 plus at 8.9%. So that'll show you out of all the respondents, the 219 respondents, the percentage of those that were under that age group that we received back. Of those, 68.5% were female and 31.5% of them were male. In general, page 10 of your packet, we were very surprised to see that on table 4, whose primary language was Spanish. We had 20.2% in just Cochise County. In general, we had white, non-Hispanic Latinos, 49.9%, and a response of 46.1% Hispanic Latinos. For Cochise County themselves only, we had 65.2% white, non-Hispanic Latino, and 28.4% Hispanic Latino. If you look on page 14 in your packet, you will be able to see the results of or the percentages of all of the questions that came out in the needs assessment survey. Starting from the first one, affordable dental care, down to raising grandchildren, which came out to 17.3% on the second page, page 15, we see that 37.5% was the highest one for affordable dental care, followed by affordable assistive devices, as mentioned before, maintenance and repair of the home. We go from that to income, cost of energy and utilities, maintenance of the yard, and transportation. I was surprised to see that in the past area plan 4 years ago, transportation was number 5. So we've actually are doing a little better in that area, and I see that it's because of the transportation that Sierra Vista is now providing as far as Vista.
Vista Transit,
yes, and then
ViCap,
correct. And currently, our SIGO agency is working closely with a legacy foundation grant to be able to provide more transportation in rural areas. Currently, we have made a partnership with ViCap, Volunteer Interface Community. It's ViCap, and they're a group of volunteers, but now they've actually received some funding through SIGO to be able to cover some of the gaps in the area, so they're able to transfer people from Wilcox, from Benson, from Sierra Vista, Palominas, Hereford, and all of that. So that's supposed to be making a little difference there as well. So I was very happy to see that transportation is not one of the three highest priorities anymore. As far as our program is concerned, I do see that, you know, as far as affordable dental care, our SHIP coordinator tries to Whenever she's contacted in regards to Medicare eligible insurances, she tries to get or offer them plans that are best that will cover dental if they qualify for. So she's aware in how to be able to do that and guide our clients for assistance like that. So that's really something that we don't have that much control over as far as the Segal Area Agency on Aging, but it's a huge concern. And it's not just in Cochise County, but this is actually in the four county region that we see that.
Is yes. there any possibility of using the dental opportunities and dentists in Alberta or in Mexico? You know, I've had several friends of mine that come from all over the United States to Alberta for dental. It's just unbelievable. And, mm-hmm. and it's on a drop-in basis. You don't have to have an appointment. They'll meet you on weekends. They speak English. It's very clean. It just seems like if we could get a hook
coordinate up, something like that.
Mm-hmm. That would be a good marriage. I mean, the Mexican consulate, I would be meeting with them this afternoon. I'd love mm-hmm. to bring it up to them.
Yeah, bring it up if you would.
They're there, and they're wanting to. Right now, it's a good time to foster good communication between mm-hmm. the two countries, because right now we're just throwing rocks at each other. It'd be kind of nice to kind of man in love. The dental would be a good opportunity.
Wow, really yeah. good. That'd be interesting to see.
Some issues I've noticed with clients suggesting that is, obtaining paperwork and passports across. It's cash only, because you can't afford, $400-$700 to put up front. And what was the other issue they said? In comparison to Chiricahua dental sliding fee. Mm-hmm. Mexico's more expensive now.
Oh, wow.
That's interesting. Which wasn't the case, maybe 5 years ago. But now they're more expensive than going to Chiricahua in Cochise County. But so those are some of the issues when I ask clients I know they're dealing with why they don't go to Mexico. So maybe things to bring up with them, and payment plans, sliding fees, all those kind of things could be arranged would probably make it easier for people to use that benefit.
Could coordinate with the Mexican consulate and get some type of visa that would right across the border and stuff. You can get over there and back fairly easy with just a license, but they'll scold you.
Right. And even sometimes birth certificates are like, they don't know where that is. It's such a headache, but yeah.
And you have the enhanced card now that will take you any land based
passport.
Passport.
Yeah, it's still
$125.
Oh,
this is
going to be mandatory.
Yeah, I have one. You get that with a passport, you get a deal on it, too.
Right, yeah. Well, I just applied for my passport in December.
Passport is more expensive, but there's a card. And we currently have a couple of the Chiricahua marketplace counselors are being trained by our SHIP coordinator at the moment, that is a huge partnership that we just made. So that's one of the things. They do a lot of outreach in that sense. So this is something that they will be informed of, so that to see if there's any collaboration that we can do so that our clients have other options if they don't qualify under their health insurance as well.
Part B pay for any dental at all?
No. That's not a
problem. They pay for vision either. They don't do that.
I believe they do an exam.
Have gotten glasses.
Yes, it's the first exam.
If you do cataracts,
Yes.
Mm-hmm. One of the thoughts I would think that would cross their minds, and particularly right now, would be the concern about how to get over there. Probably the people you're talking about don't transport themselves anyplace. So Would there be a way to coordinate something comfortably in the way of transportation for them over there? I understand the paperwork could be a concern, but I think greater than that will be the issue of getting them across the line, because there would be the fear of not knowing where they were going. You know,
yeah, it's a risk. Yeah.
On, you know, they would need some type of security, I think. Another individual that...
caregiver that accompanies.
If something did happen outside of the dental area, someone who could go across the line with them. I mean, even a person like myself or something that was unfamiliar would be more comforted if someone else was actually with me, taking me across, making that available to me, besides just the issue of the paper.
Right, to go across.
And then there's the issue of getting back across, as we know, what has been going down a lot recently. It's getting harder and harder, and the lines are getting longer and longer to get back across.
Mm-hmm.
And there's not a lot of resolve with
that. Is there something, Gary, that you could talk to them about that they could possibly do in the Douglas area?
Yes.
Do something in the Douglas area where it would be comforting?
I'm meeting with them at 1 o'clock today. We have a bike fundraiser, and we're trying to, in the past, we've coordinated with Alpineta and different cities from the sea, it's kind of distance, right? We've come across the border in the last 10 years. We haven't been able to do it because of all the hassles and all the people are shipped. The consulate, they have a new consulate now, and it seems to be working really well with everybody. We're trying to coordinate some of those issues. We've done that in the past with Special Olympics, and there's no problem whatsoever. And, I mean, we went to a point where we were buying rear-view mirrors for buses so they could come across, because they didn't really have the rear-view mirrors that they needed to drive on the side. And I just think we need to get back in the work of a partnership instead of a rivalry between each other. And it just seems ironic that we're not utilizing some of those services that are available there, especially with the peso as low as it is right now. You know, it's just amazing that... you can really get a good deal.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, even if you just converted your cash into pesos and take the pesos, it would be something. But
I don't know if we have any poll, but it's been a dream of mine not understanding why vision and dental is not medical.
I know, right?
I truly think that needs to change in our country. But especially that, I mean, I don't know how many clients they've had that have had, you know, jaws removed, you know, tooth infections and blood disorders, dying from that. I mean, it's really serious.
Yeah, it causes
stuff,
more problems.
More problems, medical.
But I don't know if we have poll or legislation or anything to make those changes.
Well, thanks for sharing that.
We do have a lot of people living in long-term care setting that do go to, they're on Medicaid, they're exam free, so they do go to check out. When they get on the sliding scale based at the 109 that they are, 109, 106 that they get when they're on Medicaid. So it's, they can afford to go to Chiricahua on the sliding scale based at 109, because when they're paying into a long-term care setting, that 109, 106 is about all the money that they have
they get back.
And that's where their sliding scale is based at. I don't know about the home-based people, because it's going to be a different, you know, thing that I'm
with
long-term
the, with
care.
The Simpatico insurance, does that cover dental care? I've kind of had mixed reviews on that.
No, I think not Simpatico.
No,
I wouldn't think so.
Well, the insurance for SMIs.
I believe there was some changes to it. I'm not very familiar with that. I know that there's more benefits to the dental plans now than there was before, although I don't know the details of it. Yeah. So.
I know it's one visit. The first visit paid for.
And so that's one of the things that we're trying to, the Area Agency on Aging, we're trying to build these partnerships where we are able to not duplicate what's already out there. And by contracting with Chiricahua for things like this, it makes it a lot easier for us to be able to refer our clients over to them if they qualify for services like this. So we're learning from them, and I'm sure they're learning from us as well, and to have them aboard and to be able to use some of their staff to help us with our program, our SHIP program, will make it a lot easier for all of us and to be able to provide more services out in the community. So I honestly would say that eventually, maybe in 4 years, this percentage of dental care needs is going to go down, you know, if we make those correct partnerships. We don't know what will happen, but I'm just being positive here. State Health Insurance Program Coordinator, and that's Ramona McMurtry in our office. And she is Medicare certified to be able to provide information and guidance to all Medicare eligible clients. So as far as page 16, we're going to go down to sources of health insurance Medicare advice. That's one of the questions in the needs assessment, and I just wanted to touch base on that because we've just talked about, SHIP. And in regards to that particular question, survey respondents were asked to identify their sources of advice regarding health insurance or Medicare. In Cochise County, Segal AAA was the most popular source by 15.5% of the respondents, followed by the insurance agent, which was 14.6%. We ask everywhere we go. Ramona is out doing presentations. She's out in different community fairs and workshops. And we also have through our case managers in Cochise County, we have 5 case managers. And all of the case managers are located in different areas of Cochise County. Today we have Keturah McLeaf, and she covers Bisbee and the Hertford area. And also we have Shauna Riffle, and she covers Sierra Vista. And also we have Yolanda Thomas in Douglas, and we have Shirley Thomas, thank you, in covering Tombstone and Huachuca and other areas, Wilcox. And then we also have Marla Tamez, who covers Benson and in that part of the county. And so in their ASCAPs, how do they call them now? ASCAPs. ASCAP. ASCAP, still like ASCAP. Okay, in the ASCAP, there's a question that states, if you would like to be referred to the SHIP coordinator, then they mark it and then they make a referral to Ramona, who now she would assist with issues with any type of Medicare insurance problems or access or anything like that. So I just wanted to make you aware that she is our go-to person when it comes to health insurance. So back to page 18. These were categorized as serious problems and problems, and I just wanted to show you that the affordable dental care for Cochise County itself was at 65.9%, being that the serious problem was 37.5%, and being just a problem was 65.9%. So it just went, up like a lot. I think it was like, 37. It was like almost half that it went up, but the percentages was quite higher in the problem area. That's what I have for Cochise County. I did want to share that out of the 1,800 surveys or needs assessment questionnaires that were sent out, we did get 219 from Cochise County. That was a very good amount, but unfortunately not what we were expecting to receive back. But in all for the 4 counties, we had 689 surveys that came back to us. Yes, ma'am.
On page 18, the second item, getting information about services. Mm-hmm. Several years ago, I think it was Ramona, I don't recall, there was a workshop held at the Presbyterian Church where it gave, where she gave out information to different people in the community who had volunteered to come. It was a notice in the paper looking for volunteers to come.
Okay.
I am here because I went to that workshop and I was given a certificate as the advocate for aging services at Sierra Vista Mobile Home Village. And that's why I'm here today, because I gather information. And when somebody in our park needs help with something or other, because of packets that I've been given, I have ideas of what's available.
Oh, wow.
And I think that that's something that should be done again. There were church, I can't even think of the proper term, but nurses at the churches, the various churches have their nurses for their congregations and so on.
Faith-based.
That's the type of people were at that workshop. And I think that that needs to be done again for people who volunteers. So that people do know, like it says 55 point, I think it's 55, I drew a circle, 0.8%
have probably that's pretty high
information about services.
Exactly, and I'm glad that you tell me about that. I wasn't aware. You just, you know, turned the light on my brain here, because I'm always coming up with different ideas to make ourselves be more informed in the public as to what services we provide. And even though, yes, Becky.
I was just going to say, and that ties into the whole Health Promoter Program that we're starting at the end of March. Legacy Foundation is doing a program for health promotion. Part of that program is talking about resources in the community and getting resources out into the community through this program. So it's an 8-week program, 2 hours a week for 8 weeks. And it touches on different health topics, but each of those topics then brings in resources that are available in the community. So it touches on what you're talking about. And I was at your thing, because I'm a faith-based nurse as well. So. It's absolutely a big deal to be able to find resources when you need them. And that's one of the challenges we have in this community, there's no question.
Correct. And so basically, thank you, Becky. I'm glad you brought that up as well. But one of the things that we're trying to do is to keep the public informed of, as to what services we have and what resources we have. So this year will be our third year that SEGO Area Agency on Aging provides an aging conference. And we have been having it in Bisbee for 2 years now. And this year will be June 1st in Bisbee as well at the St. Patrick's Catholic Church. They have a huge hall, and so we rent that space there, and we have wonderful speakers, local speakers, and sometimes speakers from outside. Last time we had it, the amount of people that attended to the conference doubled from the first time that we had it in Bisbee. So, you know, we're getting there. There has been a few gaps. Services have always been there. Unfortunately, funding has not always been there. So that makes it a huge challenge for us case managers to be able to provide as much as we want it to. But we feel that, you know, by being able to show our communities what we're doing, we'll be able to get people like you that are interested and willing to dedicate your time and help us out with the efforts of making sure that these numbers go down. We currently, yes, Lisa. That's it.
I have two questions that I'm wondering about. When you're talking about information on referral services and you say we had a conference, when you inform them, informing them just about what AAA has to offer that they are connected to, or are you talking about information and referral in reference to all different types, whether they're connected to AAA or not, that are available in Cochise County?
Yes, well, when we do our agenda for the particular conference itself, we're gearing it to the elderly and disabled. So we invite providers that we work with, as well as other agencies in the communities in the whole region, to participate as exhibitors to be able to provide their information to our public. So yes, we try to keep them informed as to what resources there is. Unfortunately, if we don't have the participation of the providers attending, it makes it harder for us to be able to address all the services that we have. Now, as far as the agencies that we contract with and what we're portraying to the communities, we have not been a speaker just yet to be able to provide that type of information. I believe that the first meeting we did, we provided information about the Area Agency on Aging and all of its programs and all of our subcontracted programs as well, but I don't think we did last year, so that's a very good thing to touch base on it for this coming year.
Do you remember, because I apologize, I don't even know if they still do this, but I know they had it several years back and it was very useful to me. And when I say several years back, I would say probably at least 7 years, maybe prior to that. It was a combination of efforts between the county health department, and AAA, and they put together a book that was probably at least a half inch thick of all of the different contact people, telephone numbers, resources. Is that still available to the public?
Yes, thank you for bringing it up, Lisa. Actually, the resource directory, we have one for each county. Cochise has its own, and it has been updated since October of 2016. So these are out. Case managers have been instructed where the resource directories are posted on our AAA website. We also have cards indicating the website. It has been a challenge printing out all these resource directories because they're lengthy. There's a few pages to it. And also, we have not had the budget to be able to buy a new copier, printer. So, we asked to just, whoever wants those resource directories as they're being updated to contact us, and we'd be glad to send them out to them. Yes? So
would you see to it that I get one of those and I don't
know? I can get you one, Lisa.
Yes.
So, do you guys have the resources to be able to duplicate those for any of your clients who might need them?
Yeah, through our public, yeah.
So you guys, do you distribute them to those?
Yes, we do distribute them, yes.
Because I know they were very helpful in the past for some people.
You can also get them on our Cochise County website. Cochise County website has them where you can download them. Susan Richards, yes.
No.
That's what you're talking about.
No, no. Susan Richards is different. The Area Agency on Aging has had for the longest time with Kathleen Hurd. She used to have the resource directory.
In your envelope, there should be the cards.
Oh, okay.
I think you're talking about just the names and numbers of contacts within, like, the health department and those kind of
resource directory.
Resource directory. I think those are just off the top.
AAA used to have your...
You have the Elder Resource Guide.
And then there's the Cochise County.
And then there's the Cochise County one.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that's the one that was updated October 2016.
Yeah, the Elder Resource Guide is what she's talking about.
That's the one. Is that on your website?
Yes, it is.
Okay,
they're on there.
It's on the Siegel
website. Yes, it's on the Siegel website. Just go in Siegel.org, AAA, and Shai is passing out the cards, and it has the website on there.
I'm just going to put them on the table.
Yeah, if anybody wants to take them back. Yeah. And so, yes, we had, since I've been here, that resource directory was not distributed because it was outdated. So we decided that, we should not give information that's outdated already. So we had a very good volunteer in our office, Lisa Conley, and she dedicated a lot of her time in updating the resource directory for us. So she's responsible for keeping it updated. Every 6 months, she'll be going in, putting new information, taking out information that's old already. If you know of any agencies in your area that you feel that need to go on that resource directory, please let us know, and we'll add it to it.
Mm-hmm. Step up program that is being looked, but step up building together. It used to be Christmas Day.
I believe Step Up in Bisbee. I believe that it's still up and running, correct?
Still up and running.
Yes.
The director had informed me that they got a very, very large grant.
Oh, nice.
That was through Legacy or whatnot, but for home repairs in the area. So get the word out.
Step Up. Thank you for sharing that. I will contact them in that regard because, you know, that's one of the highest priorities in the needs assessment.
Is it available in Spanish also?
No. Unfortunately, we do not have it in Spanish just yet. I would have to dedicate myself quite some time to be able to translate the whole thing in Spanish, and I still have not gotten somebody that would be able to or willing to update translate it. If you know of anybody that's willing to do that for us, that would be awesome. Just refer them over to our office. And, if they have, I try to compensate a little. We had given Lisa some mileage to be able to come to the office, use the office to be able to update the resource directory. So if you have somebody there that has access to it or they can, dedicate some time, I can pay them, to go to your office or to come to my office and stuff like that, if they can do that for us. But currently it's not translated yet.
I may have somebody that I need to talk to before I commit.
Yeah, let me know. That would be awesome because it's in all of Cochise, Graham, and Greenlee. I know that she wouldn't want to do the other counties, but as long as we have it in Cochise, that's fine, and then eventually I'll get somebody else in the other counties that can do that too.
Well, she used to translate for the public school system, but she's retired now.
So oh, wow.
She knows not necessarily verbatim Spanish, because Castilian Spanish doesn't translate very well.
It's not the same. It's not the same. Yeah, so let me know and see what she says. That'd be awesome. Thank you.
That can be just downloaded per county. So
yes.
You don't have to download the whole thing.
They're separated. Yeah, they're separated. It's one per county. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to share that also towards the end of your packet, you will find the key informant surveys. And for the key informant surveys, we went ahead and distributed surveys via online. We asked Simpatico Susan Richards to help us distribute that as well. And I went ahead, because I'm so new at this, I just wanted to be a little bit more familiar with each area. So I was out in different parts of Cochise County and performed them person to person. So I had, in Cochise County, I stopped by at the American Legion in Tombstone. I stopped at Copper Queen here in Sierra Vista, DES in Douglas. We got some from DARC. We had Benson Hospital participate, Cochise Health and Social Services participated, Valley Vista Medical Center participated in going through the interview with me. It was a lengthy interview. Because even though it was only probably 6 to 8 questions, it was a one-on-one, so there was a lot of questions that were being asked as far as our program and how they needed to be a little bit more familiarized with what services we provided. I provided information about our contract providers, what services we did as far as home community-based services, congregate meals, home-delivered meals, transportation, home repair, all of the different services that we touch, I actually provided them with flyers, information, brochures about it, so that they were a little bit more familiar with what it is that the AAA offers. So we were very excited to see that, almost about 20 just in Cochise County were done. And like I said, I try to do them personally so that, I can get to know the different resources in our community and that they get to know me as well and our program. So I thought that was a very effective method of doing it, although it did take me a whole lot of time to do it. So I don't know if that will be done again like that in 4 years from now because I was only able to get 20 of them. But eventually, I thought it was a good thing for me to be out there in the open and be able to discuss, and hear from these particular key informants what their priorities or what priorities they see with the elderly and disabled. So I thought it was very helpful for us to see that. If you look at this last page, page 66 in your packet, the questions, you know, some of the questions that were asked, there were six questions. And there was some questions, for example, the first one was changes in clientele. What changes do you see in clientele? And I can't remember exactly the question, but you will see on there that 15, and I think your packet doesn't have a number because it, when it printed out, it didn't show that number, but I went ahead and wrote it on mine. So for volume increase, there was 15 respondents that touched based on that particular question. For increase in homelessness, there was 2 responders. Increase of applicants with no or low income was 1. There was 5 no changes. 2, increase in mental health issues. 5, increase in client need for 24-hour care. 3, increase in need for long-term care, closing of long-term care facilities. And 1, clients interested in internet classes and socializing options. So as you go down the columns, you'll see the different questions, and you'll see those numbers, they pertain to the number of respondents that touch base on that particular item. If you look over to column question number 5, recommendations for evidence-based programs, 16 of those respondents out of 20 were that they needed to have more presentations, education on services. So I was really surprised to see that, because the area and Agency on Aging has been around since 1974. So to see that there's so many people then in the community of resources that we work with that are not familiar about our services, that was kind of like an eye-opener for me. So one of the things that that we want to change as a program is to keep the public more involved and to keep the public more informed about the services. And the only way that we can do that is by having people as yourselves help us pass the word along of the services that we provide, the meetings or the workshops or the conferences that we host once per year. We try to post everything online on our Facebook page and also on our website, and we keep it updated. Carrie is our office specialist in the back. She's very good at keeping everything updated for us, because most the 3 staff that are out, we're always out and about, and we're never in the office to be able to do that. So Carrie keeps everything up to date for us, and she's the one that's in the office to answer any questions that we get from the public. So by having those conferences once a year, I feel that little by little, that amount, 50-some people that we had from the last conference, will grow this time around in June. There was a, don't know why conferences like this were not being done before in the past. They are a little expensive, but I think that if we work with our different resources in the communities and ask for help, people are willing to help for these type of events. And so I'm hoping that this year will be a bigger crowd than it was last year. That's probably all I have for you today as far as the needs assessment. And I do, if you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer any that you have.
When does the plan come into effect? Is a year from now? Is that basically 2018?
Yes. So the process of this is to be able to, there's WIPIT. I've been doing this since the fiscal year started, and there's a lot that needs to be done. Right now I have a draft area plan. It's not completely finished yet. Now when the Advisory Council on Aging meets in April 20th, we meet, and that's when the Advisory Council approves or denies the plan that was built by the Segal Area Agency on Aging. So by then, the completed version of the area plan should be approved by the council. Then that is submitted over to the Administrative Council of Segal to approve for approval, and eventually in May, it goes to the Executive Council for their final approval. When that takes place, I submit that to DES, Department of Economic Security, Division of Adult and Aging Services in Phoenix, so that they can give us the feedback if they approve it or not. And it does not go into effect until 2018. So they basically have all that year to be able to say, yes, this is what you will be doing.
Mm-hmm. Do you have a breakdown of the actual areas the surveys mostly came from within Cochise County or within the counties?
We do. Not sure if... We do have it in our office. Carrie has a very good list of that. If you would like, she can share it with you.
I'm just curious.
She can...
The home repairs, you know, having because we do have resources in every area, most of the Sierra Vista. So that's probably why they might. Yeah, USDA rule won't come only out in Sierra Vista, but it has to be in the outlying area toward Hereford. But there's no resource for home repair. Well, it's Habitat for Humanity and Real Wishes and things like that, but it's really hard.
And one of the things that I've learned in regards to home repair, because currently we only have it in Graham County, is because there's no potential providers that would be willing to contract with us. At least that's what I've heard in the past. So it would be a matter of making those connections with any providers that would be willing to go through the bidding process and get funds from the Area Agency on Aging to provide that type of service in the different counties. So if you know of anybody that is already doing that and would like to contract with the Area Agency on Aging, forward them over to me so that I can discuss it with them. It's not something that I would be able to do now. We have to wait for the bidding process to take place so that I can allocate some of that funding into the particular county to provide that type of services. So for now, all the service, all of the home repair is basically just referring people out to some of those providers that are able to do something like that, but that would be private pay.
So. Is this similar to what you're talking about? Is it similar to the weatherization program? Are you familiar
with the CCAP?
CCAP?
Yeah. Well, the ones we have, you know, rural development out in Wilcox will do grants, and then you do have CCAP for weatherization and appliance replacements. So CCAP's funding is energy efficiency. That's where they get their grant money. So they have to prove that you're spending less on utility bills. So appliances, energy efficient appliances, weatherization of your home. So it's not really like
home repair. It's not like it's more related to energy than it is.
It has to be energy, and that agency.
That agency is awful.
You can't utilize it. It's first come, first served. You can never get a hold
of it. Is that for CCAP, you said?
Yes.
Through Virginia. Do you know who?
I know who Virginia is.
Yeah, Virginia is great, but just the...
I've never really gotten them to help any of my people.
Well, they can't. You know, you have to... it's first come, first served. You know, dead of winter, you're out there. It's 7 o'clock in the morning to... You know, there's 40 people in the parking lot. You know, elderly can't sit, you know... It's just really not feasible.
But you know, if you were to call because you were an official professional that they would recognize, if you were to call,
I've talked to Virginia.
No, they don't.
It's the director.
They would go to the homes.
JR?
Yeah.
Have you tried speaking? JR is really not involved anymore. But Yvette Ramirez, she's the one that's more involved with getting you the assistance that you need. And I would suggest that you do when you have those type of issues. It's not that they have to follow their guidelines. I mean, it's not that they're going to do something that they can't do just because you refer them over. But at least you can explain the situation to Yvette, and they will consider doing a visit or something.
Yeah, I've tried to get them assisted home visits, and it's
and they have not responded to that because I've called them for people in the Benson area
And I believe it's Uganda and Virginia, I think mm-hmm. they're still the only two, but yes. I recently talked to Virginia, and they usually respond mm-hmm. and actually get the name, the address, the phone number, and show up. So mm-hmm. they should, because they know you, right? You're the reality that you understand their needs, so they should respond to your phone call to go out there to the home. They only say that they will go. They don't say that they're going to actually accept
assist.
I've never had them go to my client. They've never agreed to go to my client.
Yeah. Really?
They've always mailed things to them, but they've never agreed to do a home visit.
Well, that's pretty interesting because they physically have shown their face in the fence.
Well, I need this Virginia lady's number because I can't get them to go do a visit. They absolutely won't.
They have monthly settings. I know they come to Douglas or same that's the fall once a month.
And yeah, they're moving all over the county, so they're like in Douglas and then so yeah. study.
But they don't have service then?
They do. But it's like it's an intake once a month, first come, first serve.
Oh, you're
and you have to have
meeting?
All the documentation. Oh, yeah. So you can't get a hold of them to ask what you need. And so people show up, they don't have what they need.
Actually, there's a recording on there. When I refer out to CCAP, I tell them there's a recording. You're going to have to listen. But if you can't, there's an 800 number for their administrative office that you can call straight through. And I encourage my clients to call that number and ask them what it is that they're going to need so they don't have to come back. Mm-hmm. Tell them what their needs are. So there is that 800 number that they can't utilize.
Well, they used to do that's RAMPS, too. Don't they do RAMPS?
No, they don't.
We don't have that independent living and rehabilitation services. We used to provide grants
but they don't do that anymore.
They do TBI only.
It's a very, very long waiting list.
And they do TBI only, right?
They did recently change it to, traumatic brain injury was the only only way you can apply, but they are now, I think, taking people
now.
Yeah. It's still a long wait. It's like a 2-year wait to get
Which name is that?
ILRS.
Independent Living
Services.
And Rehabilitation Services. With DES.
DES is a...
Well, rehab, basically.
Yeah, kind of.
Yeah, and they are in the Resource Directory as well. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much they've changed. I know that their income was, or their funding was reduced. It was cut drastically, so I don't know how much they...
Okay. It's still a long way, but I have had clients who've gotten some ramps.
Okay.
And that could have been those people 2 years ago when they did have the funding. Mm-hmm. We're still working through those, but when we called them, they said, no, we're not taking applications unless they've had traumatic.
Yeah, so, yes, Lisa.
As far as the home repair and the money that you have available for people who may be interested in assisting you with that, do they need to be like a contractor type? What is the criteria for the people that you're reaching out to say that you may have money to work with who can do these home repairs?
SIGO, when the bidding process takes place, that is the RFPs for SIGO Area Agency on Aging, that's when we try to announce these are the services that we provide. So if there's any particular providers that are interested in being part of us, then they submit their contract to us, their request for proposal to us. And then we evaluate that. I don't know the criteria, to tell you the truth, Lisa, because I have not gone through that process. That had already been done before I got in. But that's one of the things that we look for, that they have the liability that covers them to be able to work with our clients and that they're able to sustain themselves. So as far as the funding, currently I don't have any funding for that particular service because, like I said, we have not needed it in Cochise County. Maybe it was needed. It's always been needed. But if there was no providers that were interested in contracting with us, there's no way that we can force anybody to do it. You know, so... But if we were to get somebody when we do our request for proposals that's interested into it, we would love to work with them and get them on the right track to be able to provide those services in the area.
Yeah, you say something we used to be able to refer out for, but that resource is really desiccated. So.
Yeah.
So. You do all your RFPs at the same time?
Yes. Yes.
So that's when it will become
coming up for them.
Mm-hmm. And I believe it's going to be in a couple more years. We're getting close to that. Yeah. So, and it is published. It's, you know, it's published in the papers, and there's notices that go out that we're getting close to RFPs, and so we do get that out with an advance notice so that people have time to be able to respond to it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I thank all of you for taking your time today and coming. Please feel free to take any more of the needs assessment packets if you'd like, that you have somebody that could use them and learn from them, and call us if you have any questions. And please take some goodies. We don't want to take them back to the office. And I'll be here in case you have any further questions.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's okay.